the first time that I met him, and he's got a special place in my heart, and I really do appreciate him, and I appreciate his people.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for you guys hearing your prayers and such. And I was just telling Brother Paul, I said, it's hard because getting in the churches, because everybody hears the word jail ministry, and well, everybody has a jail ministry. But they don't give us the time. They don't give us the opportunity to come in and explain to them what we do, what we're about, where we're from, what God has. And if churches would just give us the time to get in there and explain and give our testimony and give God's vision of what He has for Liberty Behind Bars, amen, I think it would be a little different story. So you pray on that for us, because it's very hard to get in churches. Quite frankly, right now it's been word of mouth. Pastors and evangelist friends of ours have been putting our name out there, and people have been inviting us in and such. And so me and my wife were talking. Our brother said, how far are you in your support? Well, if you pull out that we're not taking any money whatsoever from Liberty Behind Bars. Every dime goes into Liberty Behind Bars to support that ministry. In that sense, we're 85% of where we need to be. But we still have to work. Okay? We do Instacart, we do DoorDash, because we have to travel. And so traveling around, we can do that anywhere in the United States. We go out there, we deliver groceries, deliver food. That's how we make money for our family. We got bills to pay.
Right.
Okay. So in that aspect of it, without us taking any money whatsoever, we're about 60% of support. If we were, we're 40% away from us being able to take some of that money, not having to worry about DoorDash and Instacart. But you know what? I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
I just want the money to come in for these men and women, that we can help them, that they can get the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they can get saved and come out here and work their life. God will take care of me. Is He not a God who takes care of His own?
Right.
He sure is. And so, just pray for us on it, because it'd be wonderful that we didn't have to worry about going out there and doing that, because sometimes it's our downtime. And in our downtime, when normally a man of God is resting, we're working. Okay? It's just, it has to happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so, but thank God for the opportunity that He has given us. And so I just want to spend a little bit here, and I had a friend of mine tell me, you guys might know him, Brother Homans to the Romans. I'm not sure if you ever heard of him, but he's a man out of Alabama, and his family they're in Rome. Okay, and so that's why they call him the Homans to the Romans. And so he said, hey, brother, you know, your pastor asked me to teach. He goes, I'm not very good at teaching. He goes, every time I get up there to teach, I end up preaching. He goes, so now I get up there and I preach. and so tonight I want to preach, okay? I want to start teaching you something. I want to exhort.
Yeah.
It's different than encourage.
Right.
Exhorting is teaching you something that'll last longer than a moment of encouragement.
Yeah.
Encouragement means you're discouraged, so now I'm going to come in there, I'm going to lift you up. But to exhort you means it's going to be something that'll hold you a whole lot longer. Something that you should leave out of here with and try to implement in your life. So tonight I want to try to exhort you in the Word of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar verses. And so, excuse me, what I tell the guys is this. You may know verses, but if you cannot live those verses that you know, it is worthless.
Right.
Let me say that again. I don't care how many verses you know. If you cannot live those verses, it's worthless. You're no better off than somebody out there who has no clue about the Bible. Because that's what you're doing with it. God has given us the Word to live that. Bible stands for what? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Hey, I don't know about you, but I couldn't handle my life. I couldn't run my life. That's why I needed Jesus Christ. And you know what He didn't do? He didn't leave me without an instruction manual. He gave me an instruction manual on how to run my life. And He said, go and live that way.
Yeah.
You'll be a lot better off.
Amen.
The Word of God is health to our navel and marrow to our bones, it says. That's so what the Word of God is. I'm sure all of us had some kind of lunch or dinner today. Why? Because to stay alive, we need to eat. How are you going to stay spiritually alive without that?
Right. That's good.
We live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. That's our spiritual food that we need.
Yeah.
Look at Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12. Let me read these verses and then we'll get into it. Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you," excuse me, "the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand," in verse 14, "stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having the breastplate of righteousness," verse 15, "and that your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints." Number one, I want you to notice this. In verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." My friend, the first thing we must recognize is that we are in a spiritual battle for our lives. Physically, there's many of you who can fight. But that physical fight isn't going to win the spiritual battle, my friend. This thing is beyond anything that we know or comprehend. And the very first thing we must know about this spiritual warfare is that it's a spiritual battle. But many people today are trying to handle that spiritual warfare in the physical. Not going to work. It is not going to work. I don't know who I was talking to earlier. Forgive me, I don't remember who it was back there. It says, "Oh, I was the Marine, the guy who was the Marine that sits up saddle, Dan, I think his name was Dan." Okay. He said this. He said, "There are many times that I try to go out there and I do things, but I do it without Christ." What about the disciples? Here comes a man. His son has been possessed with devils. And they come up to the disciples and he says, "Cast out the devils," and the disciples can't do it. Later on, Jesus Christ rebukes him. He pulls him aside. And they said, why couldn't we cast out that devil? He said, "Some of these don't come out by prayer and fasting. Just because Jesus Christ gave me the power doesn't mean we can go out there and do it without it." It's a spiritual warfare. And in a spiritual warfare, we need Jesus Christ. We need the strength of God. Because when we try to handle it in the physical, we're going to find ourselves down in the dumps. Is it ever a wonder we travel around and see so many people that are on psychotropic depression medicine in churches today? Why do you think that is? Because they're in a spiritual battle that they don't understand. They're trying to handle it in the physical, and they're depressed, and they're sad, and there's no hope in their life anymore. They're discouraged. They're disgruntled. My goodness, why would anybody want what you have when they see that?
Right.
Supposed to be happy. Not all the time. I understand things happen. But let me just tell you this. When those bad times come, we're supposed to look different as Christians. We have Jesus Christ to get us through this. I can tell you this right now. On social media, Christians are the laughing stock since COVID happened. You know, back in the day, people used to run to Christians in times like this. Now they're running from us. They're laughing at us. Why? Because we didn't handle it spiritually. We didn't handle it the way God intended for us to handle it. We keep trying to handle things physically, and it's a failure. It's never going to get anybody anywhere. And we need to wake up to this. Look at what it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds." They're not carnal weapons, my friend. There's nothing carnal that's going to help you. There's nothing in this flesh that's going to get you through a spiritual battle.
Amen.
That's right.
So what do we do about it? God has given us the answer right here in Ephesians chapter 6. And we need to break it down. And at the end, hopefully I get to the end. At the end, I have a challenge for you for 30 days. That when troubles come, you got to stay faithful to it. Now, I'm not going to give it to you. You got to stay faithful to it for 30 days. And you watch what God does with that. Guarantee it to change your life. Guarantee it to change your life.
That's good.
Verse 13 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Once a person realizes that they're in a spiritual battle, God in the Bible gives us instruction how to have this victory. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God. You can't pick and choose what you want to put on.
Yeah, that's good. Preach it.
He said, put it all on. Hey, let me just say this. Brother Paul, how about if I just put a helmet on you and a flak jacket, and I'll send you over there to Ukraine to fight the Russians? How long do you think you would last? We're trying to do that with our Christian life. We're trying to pick and choose the things we will put on and the ones we won't put on. And wonder why we're in such defeat. Wonder why we don't have anything going on our way. Wonder why we're in depression and depravity. Why are we going through that? God gave us the answer by putting on that spiritual armor.
Yeah,
he said, put the whole armor of God on. Not the whole armor of yourself.
Amen.
My goodness, yourself ain't going to help you. Has it helped? I know one thing, it helped me. I'm glad God gave me some armor to put on.
Amen.
I'm glad in His mercy He looked down from heaven and said, if you put this armor on, Dale, I'll give you some victory.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Yeah.
It's above anything we know.
Yeah.
How dare we try to handle this physically?
Right.
We watch our brothers and sisters crash into the flames. Why? Because they're in a spiritual battle. They don't understand it. Nobody's pointing it out anymore. Don't fight it that way. God gave us the weapons that we need contained in this book. And it's not physical. You know what a cuss word in Baptist churches are today? Fasting.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy. Come on.
That's right.
Hey, it's a lost thing that... But Jesus Christ said some of these won't come out by prayer and fast. When you're having troubles in your life and they won't go away, Jesus Christ said, why don't you go fast?
Amen.
Amen.
Why don't you go give some of that stuff up? It ain't going to hurt us to fast. I can guarantee you that. There's food. Hey, look at what is fasting? Fasting, you mean to make it hurt. He says they put on sackcloth and ashes when they fasted. They wanted God to see we are serious about this. How do you show me? Well, you know, I'm going to give up breakfast today, Lord. Here's what I'll do. I'll give up breakfast and I'll give up lunch, Lord, but I'll have dinner. Real serious about this, Lord. See how serious I am. God just looks down and says, my goodness. You know what it says when they fasted? They wept. They were in sackcloth and ashes. You know why? Because they wanted to seek what the Lord wanted for their life. How about it when we get in that spiritual battle? Prayer is wonderful. But Jesus Christ said prayer and fasting. There's a formula there He's given us.
Amen.
We need to pray and fast. We need to bring it to Him, but we need to empty of ourselves and say, God, here I am. I'm at Your mercy. I've given up food and I'm going to pray. And when I fast, I read verses all day long. Doesn't matter where I'm at. Doesn't matter if I'm in the jail. Doesn't matter if I'm out there working. I have those verses and I read them all day long.
That's good.
Why? I'm going to handle this thing spiritually.
That's right.
I'm not going to handle it in the flesh.
Amen.
That can only get you so far. And then it'll work. Hey, the devil will wear you slap out physically.
Yeah.
He'll wear you out emotionally and mentally quicker than you think.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. They must have the right equipment and task at hand. If I was to send brother over there with just a jacket and a flat, a jacket and a helmet, he doesn't have the right equipment. But God has given us the right equipment. God has not left anything out that we don't have, that we don't need to handle this on earth. Why would He tell us to do it if He didn't equip us with it? Either we believe that or God is a liar. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
How much of my heart? How many times have we come to God half-hearted?
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord thy God with all thine heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Not in your... Why doesn't God want me to lean on my own understanding? Because I don't know how to direct my life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Amen. That's good.
Acknowledge Him in some of my ways. You know, we pick and choose where we want to acknowledge God, don't we?
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, Lord, we really need Your help here. But you know what? Let's go and buy this car over here.
Yeah, come on. Preach it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I didn't acknowledge him in that. Why? I don't want God in that.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
There's things we want God in. There's other things we don't want him in. He just says, don't acknowledge, don't, look at, look at, acknowledge him in all thy ways.
Yeah, amen.
It's a spiritual battle. God is trying to show us. He's trying to teach us. God doesn't want us to sit here in defeat. Victory is in Jesus.
Amen.
That's where victory is at. God has given us victory in His Son, Jesus Christ. He's given us that war, the weapons for this spiritual warfare if we would just live it. We need to start living what this Bible says and not just, I can go out there and preach this all day long, but if I can't live it, what good is it going to do anybody?
Right.
Amen. Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Preach it.
Must have that right equipment. But does this give us an advantage? The Bible said it does. In the rest of verse 13, it says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand.
Yeah.
The evil days are upon us, my friends, in case you haven't realized that. But many Christians aren't being able to stand. They've not prepared themselves. They've turned to the wrong way of handling things instead of handling it God's way. Instead of handling it the way God would have us to handle these spiritual battles, we can't no longer stand. Men, back in the days, they would stand there and they'd be ready for anything that came at them. They were ready to stand against any opposition, anything that came at them, anything that challenged their God, anything that challenged Jesus Christ, anything that challenged the church. Today, we just move right along with it and say, we're standing. Is that what we really call it? Is that what we call it? Because to me it doesn't look like we stood anywhere because we are the laughing stock in this country. They're shutting our mouths. They're running all over us. They're doing whatever they want to do. And you know what? We can't blame the government for that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
real.
Stealing water.
Amen.
And he says that once we've done all to stand, putting the whole armor of God gives us the ability to withstand. Because there will be things that we're going to go through. When did he tell a Christian you don't have to go through anything?
Yeah.
Why did he tell us we have to withstand something?
Right.
Because there's things coming our way.
Yeah.
And if we're not prepared, if we're not ready for that spiritual battle, guess where we're going to be? Just like the rest of the world. How can they tell who the Christian is if we're just like the rest of the world, faltering and failing and depressed and doing all the things they're doing? He says to withstand. That means not only to stand, but to withstand. That means to push back.
Amen.
Could you imagine, brother? Hey, isn't it a sad thing to watch that people aren't pushing back anymore?
Amen.
Where are we pushing back? Do we think that we're honestly, by running our mouth, we're going to change Washington?
Mm-hmm.
Running our mouth isn't going to change Albany. Running our mouth isn't being Joe Biden's going to get saved. But I bet you if we did a little praying and fasting, I bet you if we put a little armor of God, it might change some things. But who's ready to get in that foxhole? You know, brother, you travel around. Maybe some of you guys, other guys have ministries and stuff. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Traveling around, sometimes you know what it feels like? We're alone in a foxhole. Yeah. And it's just us. And we're out there fighting. Get into a church, we think, all right, good. You know, there's sometimes for 3-4 weeks straight. Every single day we're in church. 3-4 weeks straight. Every day. In meetings that go on for a week, 2 weeks. We just came out of a meeting that we were in a meeting for a week, came to another meeting, went 12 days straight, and then went straight to another meeting. Man, you must really get sick of church. No, I need to be built up, my friend. You don't realize where I came from. I need Jesus Christ. I need the Word of God. I need Holy Ghost conviction, my friend. I need to be taught how to live this life spiritually. I can live it physically. Come and mess with my family while I can show you some physical things. But then tell me to live spiritually.
Come on.
You see, that's a whole new level.
Right.
40 years out there as a lost man. And now God, in the last 10 years, has called me up to be a man of God. And He says, now I want you to go out there and live spiritually. But hang on, you're not by yourself. You have a family that's going with you.
Yeah.
You think I was a man 10 years ago, 11 years ago? I was a male.
Yeah.
You know what I thought manhood was? Drinking, fighting, fornicating. That's what these young boys are seeing as manhood.
Yeah.
Brother, let me say this. I watched 15-year-old little black boys get killed on the street corner because some rapper told them to go stand there and make money. Mm. Tears my heart out.
Yeah.
Tears my heart out when I walk up to one of themselves. And I see this young Spanish man, this boy sitting there, shook. He's afraid. He's trying everything he can not to have to get involved in gangs and get involved in that stuff, but it's overtaking him. Mm. I said, look, I'll be back Monday. And we're going to talk some more. I come back Monday and I walk to his cell. He's not there. I go, hey, where's the young Spanish guy that was here? They said, he hung himself. He hung himself. How would you feel if one of these people here hung theirself, brother? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about them people in jail and prison, my friend. I want you to know that.
Yeah.
My heart's with those men and women.
Yeah.
I know they've done wrong.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
I know they're sinners.
Yeah.
But none of us are any better.
Right.
None of us. Amen. We all have that heart in us.
Yeah.
We all were born that sin nature.
That's right.
So I love those men and women. I love them with my heart. But you know what? I can't go in there fighting them in the physical.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual battle.
Right,
we got to put on that whole armor of God. Why? That we may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Therefore, I ask people, please change your prayer from God get me out of this to God get me through this.
Amen.
Look at it.
Amen.
That's good.
Yeah. You'll learn more going through something than you ever will get out of it.
That's right.
God is good.
Amen.
You're going to learn more out of your comfort zone than you ever will in your comfort zone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's out of your comfort zone that God has your ear, He has your eyes, He has your mouth, He has your heart, He has your life.
Yeah.
So He drags us out of that. And he shakes it up. When he wanted to get the children of Israel's attention, what did he do? Deuteronomy chapter 8, 2 and 3. He brought them through the wilderness.
Yeah.
To prove them.
Yeah.
He was trying them to see where their heart is. To see whether they would serve him or no. And then, if that didn't work, he turned them over to their own heart. Oh, my goodness. If you don't know what it's like to be turned over to your own heart, you haven't had the chastisement of God to come upon you.
Mm-hmm.
He turned them over to their own heart for 20 years. It says that he mightily oppressed them. Trying to get their attention.
Yes.
I believe God's trying to get the churches in America today's attention.
Yeah.
He's trying to shake them up and wake them up and show them where they stand.
Right.
Thank God for a pastor that you guys have who understands that. He can discern that. That man can discern that.
Amen.
I've listened to him enough. I've watched him around other men and such. And I have a great respect for him because he understands what I'm preaching here today. He understands. He gets it.
Amen.
Almost 30 years in the same church.
Yeah.
It's almost unheard of today.
Amen.
These little young jacks come out of this little, phony little Bible colleges, and they bounce around all over the United States. Stay with them people and win them.
Amen. Yeah.
Stay in that community. You know what my pastor did? When my pastor took over the church, there was 12 people in the church. Now, I don't know how many is in there, honey, roughly. About 80. You know what my pastor did? He went in the community and won those people to Jesus Christ. That's what he did. He went right in that community. Somebody prayed it earlier. I think it was Brother Jim. He said, we need to pray. Or maybe it was you that said, this is the community that you're in here in. You know what? Build this church out of this community. That's what my pastor did.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why you're here.
Amen.
But you know why we can't fill the church pews? Too busy trying to be physical.
Yeah.
Mm.
Come on. Amen. Yeah.
If we're honest with ourselves, and this is include me, we're not spiritual people like we used to be.
Right.
Come on, think about when you first got saved.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah,
let's just be real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good question.
Did God change?
No.
No. We allowed that.
Yeah.
Right.
We allowed that. Caleb. Why? God can't cast. Why? Because we start handling things in the physical.
Yep.
I had a man tell me this not too long ago. He said, Brother Dale, you don't physically have to leave church to be out of church.
Amen.
How many people are sitting in the pews tonight in churches across America that aren't really here? They're just physically sitting there.
Come on.
Amen.
They're not spiritually here at all.
That's right.
They're the dry bones that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with me if you would there. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to share this with you. We're going to go back to Ephesians real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's see what God has given us. And by the way, God is a God of decency and order. 2 Corinthians 14:40 tells us that He's a God of decency and order. So when God puts something out there, He wants us to live it in that order. We can't pick and choose. Well, you know, this is easy for me to live that here. I'll work on this one now, but I'll leave that for later. Oh, no, that's not how God works, my friend. Okay? It's in order, the way He wants it, the way He put it. And look, this is why He's the one who's written this Bible, not us.
Amen.
But we try to, hey, you know, Lord, this one would be easy for me to live. This one's getting a little more difficult, so can we go around? No, we can't go around it. That's why God wrote the Bible the way He did, not for us to go around it.
Right.
Right. Try it.
If we can do it ourselves, then go write your own Bible. Won't get you very far.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5.
Amen.
Just saying the truth. I love you. I'm just saying the truth. I'm not saying anything that is not truthful. Verses 8 through 10. Look what it says here in verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober. That doesn't mean just abstain from drugs and alcohol. That means clear thinking. People today are caught up with TVs, radios, what they look at, what they are listening to, the jokes they're laughing at, and their thinking is not clear.
That's right. Amen.
You ever go? You go out there, man, you think that you're having a real good day, and somebody says something to you, and you blow off on them. You go, why did I do that? Because you weren't sober in your thinking. Something you did, said, or thought sets you off for the rest of the day.
That's
what happens.
Amen.
I'll hear something or somebody will say something to me and my thinking will get clouded. So now a situation will come up to me and guess what I do? I handle it wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I didn't keep my thinking clear.
Yeah. That's real.
Yeah.
Be sober. Be vigilant. Stand. Hey man, if you love this thing, if you love the Bible, if you love Jesus Christ, you love the church, then be vigilant for it. That means be on the lookout, be on point for it, pray for it. Hey, when's the last time you prayed and fasted for your pastor? That's a reality. We've lost that doing that. He's the man of God. If there's anything that we can do for Him on a daily or weekly basis, is take some time to fast and pray for that man.
Amen.
It's a responsibility as Christians to do that for the man of God.
Every day. Amen.
To be vigilant means you can put your whole heart into that.
Yeah.
Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That word devour means to totally annihilate.
Yeah.
I don't have many people in this room, but let me just tell you this one thing. The devil's walking around and he would love to annihilate every single one of you sitting in these church pews tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would love nothing more than to erase everything that you are.
Yeah.
What is he doing? How do we defeat that? Be sober. Be vigilant. Look what it says here. Whom resists steadfast in the faith. You know what that means? To withstand. Did we just hear that over there in Ephesians? That we're going to have to withstand some things? That means stand fast in the faith. That doesn't mean to waver and say, you know what? I think I can handle this one. Lord, I'll pray on this situation, but this situation I can handle on my own. And then it turns out and you go, how did I get here? How did this end up this way? Because you thought you can handle it on your own. My goodness, if you haven't figured out you can't handle your own life on your own by now, when are you? That's a stark reality, my friend.
Amen.
We need Jesus Christ for a reason and a purpose. It ain't just me. It ain't people who've been struggling with addictions. It ain't people who've been in jails and prisons. It's us. And look what it says here. Knowing that the same afflictions are, that means going on right now, they are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace who hath what? Called us into this eternal glory by Christ Jesus after. Oh man, that word gets me. What do you mean after? Look what it says here. After that you have suffered a while. You are going to suffer. Why? Because this Bible, this spiritual battle goes against everything that your sin nature is. And our sin nature wants to fight those spiritual things. That's why we can't handle the spiritual things without Jesus Christ. Because our sin nature wants to battle them. Go read Romans chapter 7. The things I don't want to do, I do. The things I hate, that's what I do. The things I don't, that I want to do.
Yeah.
Paul's talking about that spiritual battle that's going on.
Yeah.
After you have suffered a while, look what it says here. Make you perfect, make you mature. You know, you go through some things, and the more you go through them, the more you're able to handle them the right way. Right? That's how you learn. It makes you mature. So next time that thing comes up against you, you won't handle it like you used to. Now you'll handle it differently. Why? Because you become mature.
Amen.
Look what it says here. Establish. You gotta know there's two, that word establish does not mean establish. It's spelled differently, my friends. And it has a different meaning. To be established means that something that's already, this church is established. But it's built on a foundation. That means at one point it was established. It had to be built upon. Established means you're going to put that foundation. And once you put that foundation in, which is Jesus Christ, now God wants to establish you. He wants to build upon that which is already established. He wants to build upon that Christian life that you have. If you have Jesus Christ as your foundation, now He wants to establish you. He wants to build on that thing. How does He do it? Suffering.
Yeah.
Why are we going to suffer? Because in the flesh, your flesh wants to do those fleshly things.
Yeah.
He says, then strengthen. And sadly, you ever notice the more you go through something, the stronger you get against it?
Yeah.
How can God? Look at what. If a person goes in the military, they don't come out a day later looking like that soldier, trained, ready to go out there and do what they have to do. That person had to go through a whole lot in a short time. Let me just say this. God does the same thing, my friend, to us.
That's right. That's good, brother.
Yeah,
that's good.
He's got to change our thinking. He's got to change our way. How can He do that? Because here's the key. When we allow God to show us the things in our life that He hates, and then allow Him to bring us to that place where we hate it like He does.
That's it. Amen.
Right.
There you go. Amen. That's
good. But if you got a sin in your life, you'll never get rid of it until you start hating it the way God hates it.
That's right.
Ever. That's ever. I tell those men in jail and prison, I said, you'll never get rid of that stuff out of your life because you don't hate it like God does. You don't even see it the way God sees it.
Yeah.
Well, how does He do that? Well, let's do get some suffering.
Yeah.
You think when you have to discipline your son, little Paul there, he doesn't like that. But he knows what's best for him. You know what's best for him. And you know what's going to train him. You know what's going to make him different. God doesn't do it with His own children?
Yeah.
Oh, sure He does.
Amen.
Go back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore, and having your loins girt about with truth. You know, your loins, they start from your spine, and they move across your ribs and down to your hip bones. That's right there. That's what they call your loins. Today we call our core. If you have a weak core, you're a weak person. You can't stand. You're bent over, and you're doing all. That's because your core is weak. And so He says, have your core or have your loins girt about with the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. You need to have it, your loins filled with the truth out of the Word of God to be able to stand. You can't stand with a weak core. You can't stand without the Word of God being in your loins.
Yeah. Amen.
Or that devil's going to come by and just go, boom! He's going to kick you right over. No problems whatsoever.
Yeah.
Why? Because your loins aren't girded by with the truth.
Right.
We can go out there with all the little shows and programs and everything else this planet has to offer, but if our loins are not girded by with the truth, forget it. We're just as weak as the next person next to us.
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Job is a perfect example of someone who went through extreme times of physical and emotional and spiritual troubles, yet through it all, he held his integrity towards God. How? He girded his loins.
Yeah.
Job girded his loins. He knew the God of heaven. He knew that the God of heaven, the Lord giveth, but he taketh away. Job understood that. His wife said, go and curse. There's no sense of serving God anymore. Curse him and die. And he said, oh no. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, he girt his loins about with truth. So, hey, do you know what Job did in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5? Every single day he went and did sacrifices for him and his children. Why did he do that? Because he prepared himself for those things that were going to come. household, men, are you preparing your household for what's coming? Job did. Every day. Said he got up every single day and he prayed and he did sacrifices for his children and himself. Why? Because he wasn't sure what was coming. He was strengthening himself. And guess what? Here comes the attack of who? The devil.
Yeah.
He'll curse you.
Right.
Hey, look at how happy would you be if God took everything from you?
Right.
How about the children of Israel, brother? The priest, the Levitical priesthood. Yeah. They're watching the other tribes get out there and get all the inheritance. And God says, you don't get an inheritance.
Yeah.
I'm your inheritance.
Right. Yeah.
If God started taking away all your physical things, all your boats and cars and houses, how happy would you be with God as your inheritance? Go ahead and challenge yourself in that. How would you be?
Yeah, right.
Would you be happy with God as your inheritance?
That's real.
Yeah.
That's something we need to challenge ourselves in. Because I think sometimes we get really connected to those physical things on earth and have to forget who really is behind all of it.
Yeah.
God Almighty. How attached are we to those? God as our inheritance. Job 3:25 says, for this thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. You see, Job in chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he was already preparing for this. Men, ladies, prepare yourself for this. We live in a day and a time. Well, we don't know what can come upon us at any time.
Yeah.
Are we prepared for what's coming? We talk a big game. But when it starts happening, like I said this morning, how would you feel sitting in Ukraine today?
Right.
We can sit back and think, well, you know, it wouldn't be so bad because you're sitting here in a nice, comfortable church.
Amen.
But let's get out there on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let me drop you off in one of the neighborhoods that I go and work in. And let's see how comfortable you are there. Just being real.
Yeah.
How prepared are we for what's coming? And are you prepared physically? Because I know a lot of people, they've got all this food stored up and they have all this ammunition stored up. Great, that's going to help you a whole bunch. You're going to be the first person they come after.
Right.
You know what I'd rather do, brother? Store up my treasures in heaven.
Amen.
And do good to people here on earth. Why? Because then God will look down on that and repay me what He thinks.
Amen.
Just say it. That's the spiritual things, my friend.
Amen.
The spiritual preparedness. The second thing we can learn here is verse 14 goes on to say, having the breastplate of righteousness. So it's not just having our loins girded about with truth, but we're to put on that breastplate of righteousness. What is that breastplate of righteousness? This is Jesus Christ, of course. He is our breastplate of righteousness. He is that one that's protecting us. Romans 3:24 and 26 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are past, through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness. It is His righteousness that protects our heart. Create me a clean heart, O God, is one of the prayers David yelled out. Why? Because he couldn't clean his own heart up. My friend, if you have the power to clean your own heart up, please come and teach me, because in 10 years of being saved, I have not yet been able to do so.
Amen.
It takes a holy God, a righteous God, a God who loves me so much that He'll chasten me. Break this down. I'm not going to get them a whole message, but look at me. Six times in your New Testament, Paul goes out there and he tells the people, he says to give thanks to God and the Father. He separates that six times in your New Testament. Why? He's trying to show you a different side of God. He's trying to show you God who's holy, He's righteous, He's the lawgiver.
Yeah.
But then He's trying to show you God the Father, capital F.
Yeah.
Why is that? You guys know if you have children here, there's times you have to make a decision in your children's life. They think you're trying to hurt them. But you and your perfect love for them, and you know what's better for them, they're correcting you.
Amen.
And that's how God wants us to trust Him.
Amen.
We know Him as a holy and righteous God. We know Him as a lawgiver. But have we learned Him as God the Father? That one who will correct us and say, you may not understand, Paul, but I want you to grab my hand. And I want you to trust me. And He's going to lead you through that valley. He's going to lead you through those things. What did David say? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Yeah, that's good.
You ever know you can't get out of that shadow? God was the only one that was going to remove him out of that shadow of death. Every single day he walked in death. Every single day, death and that shadow were right next to him. How is he going to be delivered? God. He knew that. Do we know that? Is that how we live our lives? Look at me. This is what I want you to do. When troubled times come, not only do I fast and I pray, but here's what I'll do in my prayer. My wife, I think she's done it quite a few times. She might be still doing it now. When I'm having a hard time and things are going awry and I just can't seem to get God's attention or I can't get His mind on a certain thing, what I will go and do is take Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12 and all the way through to the end, at verse 18, I will go and pray that every single day. And then I'll say this, all right, Lord, I put on every piece, and I'll act like I'm dressing it as I'm praying it to God. I'll put it on, every piece, just the way He is. And I'll say, all right, God, this is what I want you to do. Teach me what piece you want me to use today.
Yeah.
I have a guard at the jail. He's a nasty sucker, man. I mean, he's nasty. He cusses me out all the time. He don't like me. Why? Because I go in there and preach hope to these people. They don't see hope in those people, guys. That's so much in them. They don't see hope in them. They've seen these guys come in and out, you know, calling the name of Jesus, Allah, and everything else, and come in and out the same. So they don't see any hope for them. So every time I come in there, he'll be cussing me out and swearing at me and everything else. Oh, you're taking up my time and blah, 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 you know. And I don't say nothing. So I say, Lord, you know, how about if you just take him off the floor? Why don't you just move him so he doesn't bother me anymore? You know what the Lord put on my heart? Why don't you start praying that he gets saved?
Come on.
Lord, don't take him off the floor. Save him, Lord. Man, he'd be a great help to those inmates. He'd be a great help to have a man like that saved, that they can see Jesus Christ in him. Because he's a miserable guy. He's an abuser. Imagine him getting transformed by Jesus Christ and those men seeing it. What impact do you think would happen?
Right. Come on.
Lord, save him. So I'm praying this one day. In Ephesians chapter 6, and I want you to go home and do this for 30 days. I'm praying this on the way to the jail. I said, okay, Lord, I've dressed in your armor, every piece that you've told me to. What would you like me to use today? And I remember, Lord, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Cool. Show me the person that you want me to use that on. Do I need to go any farther? I said, no. Lord, really? You know, I'm laughing in the car. I'm like, that's just something I thought of, you know? Lord, really, who do you want me to use this on?
Yeah.
The man came to me. I said, all right, Lord. I'm going to go in that jail. I'm going to do that. I'm going to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel. I'm going to go in there with that guy. I'm going to go in there peaceful to this man who wants to war against me for what I'm doing. And I walk into that jail. Now, I've never had time with this man. He's always with other people, man. When they're together, forget it. They're like a little banshee bunch. You know what I mean? I mean, they are brutal. And for the first time, it's me and that man standing there, face to face. I got about 8 minutes with the man to talk to him. All because I was obedient and asking God, Where do you want me to use this piece of art?
That's good, amen.
God, you know what? I never got a chance to talk to that man again. He got moved to a different floor. Look at God's word works.
Amen.
Look at when you're going through something, or if you want an answer from God, go and pray Ephesians 6. Go and put that armor on every single day and ask God what piece you need to put on. If you're struggling with something in your life, go and pray that armor on every single day. Put it on piece by piece and ask God, show me where I need to use this. Show me how I can defeat this. Because I want you to know, it says that you can quench the fiery darts of the devil, not stop them. Everybody preaches, stop it. That doesn't say stop. It means, it says quench. That means you can put those things out as they come. Because they're going to come. Doesn't say put it out, does it, brother?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't say stop. You're going to put them out. Because you're not ever going to stop them from coming.
Amen.
So why don't we do that every day for the next 30 days?
Amen.
And see what God can do for you. Not just you. How about your loved ones? Does anybody here got any lost loved ones?
No.
Anybody here got lost friends? That's right.
Yeah.
Man, what a wonderful thing would be starting to pray and fast for them, wouldn't it? What a wonderful thing it would be to start dressing in that armor of God every single day and saying, God, where can I be a help to that lost loved one? Or what can I say? Or what part of this armor can I use? Hey, Lord, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to pull a fast once a month for my lost loved ones. Because in your Bible it says somebody's going to come out by prayer and fasting. Look it. God has given us an instruction manual. And I believe for a lot of times, we've taken it for granted.
Amen.
We have forgotten how to live as Christians.
Yeah.
But it's the only thing that's ever going to work in our life. Let me speak on my own behalf. It's the only thing that's ever going to make me into what God wants me to be.
Right.
If you have some other supernatural power, hey, have at it. But I'm going to trust in this good old King James Bible.
Amen.
Because it is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the words of God. It is Amen. The words of God.
Amen.
Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is what it says in John 1:14. Where is eternal life? It says that we've beheld it. How have we beheld it? It says that we've held it with our hands. How is that? You got the Bible.
Amen. Amen.
God gave us the written Word of God. Oh, it's, man, it's just, did you see my new Bible, guys? Man, isn't that... Isn't that wonderful? I got how? Isn't that beautiful? Man, that cost me a lot. Cost me $175, you know, plus taxes. Who cares how much it cost? What did it cost Jesus Christ? What did it cost God to send them down there so that we can have this? What about those men that were sawed in half and hung upside down so that we can have the Word of God? That's what's the important thing, is to have this Word and to go out there and live this Word and go and put it in order just like God said to do.
Yeah. All right, amen.
He gave it to us for a reason to live. Why? Because, man, it'd be wonderful for Pastor Terry Fenton and our Pastor John Ashworth and many people, evangelists who travel around, to come into a church and go, man, you can tell they've been living. They've been living what that Bible says. It's made a difference in their lives. Because far too many people, we walk into the churches today and all we see is frowns, depressions.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened? And then you know what the sad part is? I see people in tears, and they got to go through it alone. The brethren are too busy. Got to hurry up and get out of here. We came to church. Let's just go ahead and get out the door very quickly.
Come on, brother.
Hey, brother. Oh, man. That was a good message. That's not what they're saying in their heart. I need to get out of here. Let me just go tell this man he preached a good message. I'm going to leave. How do we get to this point, my friend? I'm very young at this. I'm 10 years saved. And God has put me in a lot of churches. And I travel around. I go, God, what's happened? Would you waken some people up? How about it today? Are you the one that God wants to wake up? Has He not pricked your heart at all today? Because if not put your heart at all today, there's a problem, and it's not with God or His Word.
That's right.
I didn't take this Word out of context in any way, shape, or form in any of my messages. They've all stayed right where they need to be. And like I said it this morning, success for Liberty Behind Bars is because I stand on a King James Bible.
Amen.
I'm done, brother. Thank you, sir.
Amen.
Appreciate you.
Yes.
Amen. Don't forget, 30 days of praying at Ephesians 6. It's a challenge.
Stand. We have an invitation. Brother Rich, play something.